Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Today, I have with us Thomas Knoll, a seasoned mentor who's guided over 1,000 founders and executives in uncovering leadership resistance points. With a deep focus on growth, compassion, and authentic leadership, Thomas engages with a community of over 15,000 thriving, mindful leaders who are redefining what it means to lead with heart and purpose. And you guys know that those are our people. So let's get ready for an insightful conversation on what it looks like to break through barriers and cultivate impactful leadership. Thomas, welcome to the show.
So that is a lovely welcome. Thank you.
Well, it's you. So you're lovely. So thank you for being here. I love the resistant point because this is like the first time I've heard it in that way, right? And we hear about resistance all the time, but you know, you've mentored over 1,000 people, right? Founders and executives both alike. What are some of the most common resistance points you see, and how can leaders start breaking through them?
Yeah. I mean, boy, we're coming right out of the gate.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I think what's so interesting is it's like we were getting to know each other's names.
Yeah.
You know, earlier before we started.
Yeah.
It's so easy for people to mispronounce names and they can be really, really unique. And it's like everybody has one, even though they're all unique. We just like all have a name. I promise this is going somewhere. The resistance thing, in some ways, it's kind of unique, you know, and there's a little bit of nuance here and a nuance there. And there's like sometimes like some stories.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of come along with it, but everybody has it.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty similar. Like, even though there's like nuances and unique, like it's all pretty similar. So that resistance thing, every single person I've ever met has it. And it's the biggest thing that interferes with the decisions, the conversations, and the actions, right? Like on one hand, we're all standing here like, I pretty much know what I believe. I pretty much know what I think. I pretty much know how I want to show up and express myself. And so in theory, every decision should be able to be like a split decision.
Right.
Every conversation I need to have, like if I just tell the truth, it should be very easy to have the conversation.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And like doing the next action, it should be like, I know it's the next most important thing to do right now, and I should just do it.
Yeah.
Right. So what you probably felt it.
Yeah.
Even while I was talking about it, right. The like, we all have this other thing
mm-hmm.
that shows up that is this resistance. And, you know, like it's not, maybe not even the best word for it, but it's a really good word for it. Because it's a hesitation, it's a pause, right. It's a friction, it's a tension. But whatever it is, it's like, I need to make this decision. And as I go to do it, something else mm-hmm. shows up and asks, like, are you sure? What makes you think you know? How do you know?
Yeah.
What makes you so sure? Or is like a critic, right? That is just like, you idiot. You're really going to like do the same thing again. You know, every time you do that, it gets harder for us, and get off your horse and like, why don't we just do it easy this time? You know, like I'm just saying generic stuff, but I know that everyone feels exactly 100%. What I'm talking about.
100%.
So it's this fun thing that we all have that just has like few different pronunciations.
Right. Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, the Untethered Soul, the book, talks about the inner critic as a roommate, you know? And so how do you help people identify? I think you explained it very well. At least I understood it. So how do you help people identify that? And then how does one like start working through it? Is it a conversation with the inner critic? Is it a just go for it and see what happens?
Yeah. It. So most of us, most of the time, if we actively notice that it's showing up, right? Like a lot of times it's kind of doing its work subconsciously.
For sure.
Right? Where it's very hard to notice.
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments where we like kind of like make eye contact and like, wait a second, I know what's happening here. Like when we notice it, first thing we do, right? Shut it down, push it out, fight back, box it up, defer it till later, start calling it names, right? Like when we notice it, most of us, most of the time, try to push it away or push it down. We turn away from it. And what I found is when instead, if we turn toward it and get curious about it and acknowledge it, and you know, there's like the, was it like name it to claim it, you know,
yeah.
like a fun phrase. When we do that and we get curious about it, if we can go even further and ask to understand, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what are you here for? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
The wild thing is, I don't know, 90% of the time or more, we find out that it was really trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like what it's doing there isn't actually trying to hurt us.
Yeah.
It's trying to help. Like if, you know, if I notice that I'm getting really defensive in a meeting, talking to the team, it's like, here's our plan for this week. And then someone like questions it.
Right.
Like, well, why are we doing that? How come we aren't doing this other thing? Right. And I just feel this like
warmth.
I'm up and my arms get a little more tense. I get a little louder.
Mm-hmm.
I get defensive and maybe even a little angry, dismissive, right? Stuff that I don't like. I don't want to do any of those things. That's not how I want to show up.
Yeah.
And so like, if I notice that, and then if I go to it and like, why?
Yeah.
Why did you respond to questions? Like, why is that the plan? Why did you do that? Right. And I go in and find out that like, well, don't you remember when we got passed over, dismissed, belittled, talked down to, told to don't speak unless, you know,
spoken to,
someone asked you a question,
yeah.
Right? Like, and we decided like we weren't ever going to let anyone do that to us ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very beautiful, protective, righteous, it's trying to be helpful, right?
Yeah.
And I am sure there have been times in my life where getting bigger, standing my ground, speaking up, fighting for have been very good, useful, helpful things.
Right.
But here I'm noticing like, oh, that also just like jumps in and does that stuff in times where maybe it doesn't
fit
or doesn't apply or it doesn't match the
level of threat.
Right.
Yeah.
And as soon as I see that and restore that, because I've just been shoving it down, boxing it out, right? As soon as I notice that, then when I'm in situations where I feel that thing climbing into the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm used to now, like, we already had a conversation. We already talked about this. I know what's going on. So I just like can check in very quickly in the moment of like, whoa. And like the wild thing to me, here's like a tip version of all this, right? Is like a wild thing to me is most of the time I can even say exactly what's happening out loud. And not only is it okay, but it's helpful for everyone. Yeah, like I can say, like, wow, I like felt myself really digging in whenever you asked me that question, because like part of me was like thinking like you're like attacking me or saying my idea is stupid, and I don't really think that's what you're doing,
right?
But I think there's something really important here for us to. I don't want to move past this quickly. I want to understand your question so that I'm not reacting defensively to it. Right? Like I can do that out loud and show everyone that this stuff is happening. And even not only does it make it better for me, but that it was obviously better for them.
Right.
Not only for this one experience, but from talking about leadership, right? Like being able to demonstrate to the team.
Yes.
This is a thing that we do here. This is a thing that this is what leadership looks like. And I hope you know that it's safe to do something like this with your own team.
For sure.
It's just a wild.
But it's so beautiful. Every time it surprises me. So beautiful, though. You know, I love that. It's so vulnerable and also gives people permission to be just as vulnerable. Like, yeah, I'm the leader and I'm still working through my shit, you know, like all the time. Yeah. And it's okay. So I love that. I appreciate your explanation. I appreciate the way that you took your time to fully get through what you wanted people to hear and understand, you know. And on the flip side of that, I know leaders who maybe have that voice because I feel you're right. Everybody has it. But their voice is just go. Like, I don't care what anybody says, just go with it. And you're just like, hey, you didn't ask for collaboration. You didn't ask for opinions. And now we're in the crap because you didn't. Is it the same method or same message for them? Or is it more of a, let's slow down? And how do you stop them from just impulse?
Yeah, that is a lot trickier.
Yeah, right.
It's helpful if somehow they've been able to receive the feedback and that is something they want to work on, right? Then there's a lot of room for it. If they don't want to work on it or don't want to acknowledge that it's there, the only good advice I have for all leaders at all times is when you get some kind of feedback, instead of responding with that is true or that is false.
Yeah.
Right. Deciding like, you're wrong. That's not a thing. Like, that's not my problem. I don't do that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Or going like, oh, yeah, yeah. Because you told me that, like, I need to smile more and speak up more often in meetings, or I'm not ever going to become further in this company. You know, like, I don't have to just go, oh, okay. Right. So I don't have to just flat out say, no, that isn't a thing, or yes, this is a thing. But in all situations going like, how could that be true?
Right.
Or why do they feel like this is true? Mm-hmm. And that leaves that turns on this same thing of curiosity that lets you discover something and learn something. Because now if I'm in that mindset of how could this be true, or why do they think that is true about me. Now there's room to get to what I started with is like, if someone wants to work on it, the impulsivity, the like, go, 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 don't stop, don't ask, don't think, don't collaborate, right? That's weakness. If I'm uncertain, why would anyone want to follow me? Mm-hmm. Right? Which that doesn't sound like a bad thing again,
right?
Like underneath all of this, there's usually some great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're the kind of family that finishes what we start. So if you say you're going to do something, you do it. There's some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like all things in moderation, I think, is probably what works better.
Right.
Because, like, there's some good stuff there. But if I'm applying that to my detriment.
Correct. There's a time to quit as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
They're like new data, there's a new strategy. Right. Which again, the fear is this is weakness.
Right.
To not make the decision, push it forward, charge ahead, follow through and complete. Right. Mm-hmm. If we don't do that, the fear is like, well, that's a weakness.
Yeah.
And what's wild is for most organisms or organizations, communities, right, there's it shows more strength that we can be resilient, that we can change our mind with new information, that we're willing to pivot and execute with the best, you know, like not get stuck in the, what are the SWOT, strengths, weaknesses,
yeah,
obstacles, opportunities, and threats,
yeah,
opportunities, threat, right? Like,
yeah,
when, like, that's this exercise that we do like once a year just to like get the sheet filled out, right? But like the point of it is like a great organization is able to do that on a, you know,
yeah,
quarterly basis, monthly basis. What about ones that can do it on a minute by minute basis, right? Like you would probably assume that's a really great organization. So doing that as a leader demonstrates more confidence and strength than choosing to stick with something to
just because
show,
right?
I don't not know.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The answers.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, it all comes from somewhere. And I think that, you know, authenticity is something that you're very heartfelt about. And I think authenticity is something that perhaps people struggle with because they've been taught, and I say programmed all the time, a different way, you know. And to your point, if you grew up in a household where we don't quit, right, and you adopt that, and then you bring that to the workplace, you know, are you actually being authentic? Is this you, or is this what dad and mom said to you?
Yeah.
And so what do you find that people, I know this is a leadership podcast, but I feel like this is a people thing.
Yeah.
Struggle with when it comes to authenticity.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I think almost all of us starting from a very young age start to just hear these responses that are like, that's wrong. And the shortcuts of like, don't be a bad kid. Right. It's like contractions, you know, like that's a whole lot easier and quicker to say than like, you know what, you're awesome. And I really love like your energy that you're bringing to this day. But some of your choices right now, they're like affecting other people around. Like when you're running and screaming and knocking into stuff, like that's like, see how that's like affecting other people. So I'm wondering if we could like bring it in and like do something here that like kind of lets everyone use this space. And that takes way too long to say. They're like, stop being a bad kid.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so we just,
and like, then now you create, yeah, what bad is. Bad is, yeah, loud, bad is energy, bad is this, bad is that.
You know, so then they all just add up, and it's easy to believe, especially whenever like some of those are patterns that are like consistent.
Yeah.
From family or community or systems, that stuff, it's just easier to believe it must be me. Like, how could it be all of those other people wrong?
Right.
That doesn't make sense. But, like, everyone else is wrong. So it must be something with me.
Right.
And that's a part of it with what like most of the work I end up doing with leaders has more to do with the stuff that we put in place to protect that hurt.
Yes. Right.
So we don't do the work around like whether you can draw a good picture the way people want you to draw it or not. Right. We do the work with like, what would happen if I fully express my vision for the future through this organization. Because I've got all the stuff that says, like, as long as you make it match what people are used to, then they won't dislike it. And if they don't dislike what you're presenting to them, then they won't dislike you. If they don't dislike you, then, like, maybe there's a few more people that like me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So we're going to, let's adopt this strategy that, like, lets us not feel rejected. And that strategy looks like, make it look like what everyone wants and expects, because then they can't dislike it, because they would have to dislike everything.
Right.
And if they dislike everything, then they don't belong. So they're going to, we'll be safe as long as we make all this, like, look okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, approval is a real thing. Constantly seeking approval is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if somebody said, okay, I'm not even sure if I'm inauthentic, what would you say is, like, the first step to identify just one small thing? Because finding out the whole thing as a lie is really scary.
I mean, so the exercise we do, especially right at the beginning of a coaching relationship, but then multiple times throughout it, the exercise I'm trying to promote with the app and the company 11, which is kind of for, like, one-on-ones, it's to just find one thing, right? Like, even if you could see all of it, that's not even the ideal, because we're very good at shutting down when we're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Another thing that's, like, a very helpful, useful strategy.
Yeah.
You know, that we've developed over centuries and centuries, right? Like, that's a useful thing, but if there's too much, like, we're just going to shut down. And so we want to just look for one thing and give it our full attention. And so we're always going to start there, of going and asking, in the last day or two, was there a moment where I felt like who I am and how I want to be showing up was interfered with? And it might have sounded like words or ideas that were, like, coming up in the inner dialogue, or it might just be something that doesn't really have good words to it.
Yeah.
Like, my shoulder has been really sore for a while. And what's weird about that, you know, like, there's a book, The Body Keeps the Score, which, like, the title itself is, like, 80% of the value. You know, like, there's lots of good stuff in the book, but, like, if you really get the title itself, that's most of what you need to know. So even, like, to find that thing, I don't even know what it is yet.
Right.
But if I go ask it, like, what's going on? Why are you there? What are you trying to tell me? What information are you trying to give me? Right. And most of us love, like, I need all of the thoughts and information to think about what is going on and what we should do. And we forget that, like, pain or hunger or coldness, right? That those things, they're just information. They're also information, right? They're just not the ideas. Like, all we focused on in school was, like, what are the ideas and how do we consider them, right? It's like, those feelings, that's just information as well.
Right.
And so to go, like, you know, what are you trying to tell me? And I may get back, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Don't you remember yesterday we were raking the yard?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sore because we were using our shoulder a lot more than useful or normal. But I might actually get back, like, I just feel the weight of the world right now.
Yeah.
But you mean that's not just a phrase? That's not just a saying?
Yeah. That's not just my anxiety?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, oh, what's it like to carry, like, the weight of the world? I'm tired. Wait, why are you carrying it? Well, I don't know what to do with it. No one else is around here. If I don't, who is? Interesting. So I have to be the one to carry all of that stuff for everyone right now? Well, no. Okay, so why are we shouldering all of it? Oh, I don't know. I just felt like we're supposed to. Who told us we're supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you just kind of go down the...
Yeah, unpack.
And what's so neat about it is it's like, do you remember the Magic Eye posters? Mm. They had like it looks like just static.
Yes. But
like if you cross your eyes just right, then there's this
for sure
punch out of a ship or something, you know? And it's like, until you can see it, you know, you think everyone's lying to you that like, oh, look, it's 3D. You know, like this, where's the camera?
Yeah.
You're right. Like until you see it, it just seems like nonsense. As soon as you see it, like it gets boring really quickly. Like, oh, yeah. I've seen it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can see it. I can't unsee it. Okay. What's next? And some of this stuff, like it is my job to carry all of the burden to make everyone else feel not burdened.
Right.
That's my job. I'm supposed to. And as soon as you like, you know, cross your eyes just right and see that, the good news is like that can melt very quickly and you never unsee it. You just know that's a thing. It's almost boring of like, oh, I don't have to do that. I can ask people to help.
Yeah.
And then all of the rest of your life for that thing, whatever that thing was, right? Like,
yeah,
becomes easy.
Right. Yeah. And you can go down some, you almost have to be willing to go down the rabbit hole of that. Right. And understand that the symptoms are just giving you indicators, because why can't I ask for help would be another one. Right? Mm-hmm. that where did I learn that? Right.
Yeah.
And then you can go through, and there's so much healing in all of it. Mm-hmm. And I love that you mentioned that. I love that you mentioned, these are things I don't usually talk about, but I feel as a spiritual person, I know these things in my own inner circle. I talk about these things, you know, I feel like you've just given me a lot of permission to just say what it is, because it's true, you know. And on the flip side of that, my shoulder hurts. Let me go grab some Advil and numb this pain and keep numbing it, because I don't know why it hurts.
Yeah.
And so we don't allow ourselves even the space to ask, what's going on here? Why do you feel like this? You know? So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I think what's so fun is just from the leadership perspective, right? Is like, and then when we do that in front of people, it has exponential compounding impact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I'm not even like a person who could give you permission to say that or do that thing. But you just said like, oh, I feel like I have permission to do this now. Right. And that's what happens to everyone whenever they see it.
Right.
You know, explored. And that's okay. Like it just feels like it gives everyone permission to start doing that too.
For sure. For sure. You mentioned something, and I want to go down that path a little bit. You know, most of us leaders in corporate America, at least when we're promoted, it's for various reasons, but I find that the, you know, the most unconscious reason is because we know how to fix. Right? We know how to fix problems. And since we know how to fix problems, we're put in charge of fixing problems. And so how do leaders go from problem solving as our, you know, we can get so caught up in I'm the problem solver. And so everybody comes to me to solve their problems, to teaching others how to solve their own problems and not be the end all be all. Because the goal in leadership is to create other leaders, you know? So how do you do that with compassion and love and all the things consistently?
Yeah. I mean, what I love is like the answer was in your question. it might feel hard or scary to do it, but like the answer's in your question.
Yeah. I know that.
There's a phrase that really stuck with me, and it has come up often in my coaching and management of others. It always seems to eventually come up as like a thing to give to the next person, which is this question. How do you know you aren't robbing that person of an opportunity to grow? Because most leaders, you know, like the reason, the biggest reason they don't do the teach how to fish instead of just here's your fish, now get going.
Yeah.
Is because like, I don't think they can, or it's going to take too long, or it's going to be too hard, or like, I'm going to have to clean up the whole thing after, you know, they mess it up, or like they're not ready for it yet, or, you know, there's a thousand versions of the same excuse. Which underneath it all is, I want this. I want to be the person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hang on to being needed to fix the things. I don't want to help anyone else with it. But that's usually, very few people will say that out loud.
Right.
They, in fact, like, I think most people would honestly argue, be like, no, that's not how I think and feel. Like, well, if that's true, then like, just
skip it.
So why is it hard? And so for some reason, that phrase, you know, because it kind of hits on the same, like, it hits on the same nerve to call them a robber or a thief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why would you steal this opportunity of growth? Like, didn't someone give you a chance to like mess up? How did you get here if like no one ever gave you a chance to like grow into some boots?
Right. Right.
So now you're here. How long are you going to steal this opportunity from other folks? And that usually pushes on the buttons mm-hmm. for them to like hear it enough to go like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how do I do that? I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You don't need advice on like how to let other people grow up.
Yeah.
Let them.
Just let them.
You're already doing the work anyway. So even if you have to redo it because they struggled.
Right.
You're not actually losing anything.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it takes me back to like, you know, the way that we promote, you know, we usually, again, promote the best problem solvers, the best salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we equip them with this part, with the leadership part. You know, we call them all leaders because they all manage people. And mm-hmm. yet, you know, I don't know if they know how to like yeah. lead, you know. Yeah. So what's your take on that?
What comes to mind is like, it's like the joke where like, We make kids go spend 3 months in a year of a learner's permit before we'll give them a license to like drive a car. And the joke goes like, how come two people that are gonna like give birth to a whole new human aren't like required to go
right.
take months of classes and like a whole year of like babysitting and like all that yeah. stuff before they're allowed. Like my point is like it's not just lead, like we don't really prepare anyone
for anything
right, and so everyone Truth. Just kind of has to pick it up and mostly kind of copy stuff that happened to them, or it was so bad, whatever happened to them, that I'm going to swing the pendulum all the way to the other direction. And I'm going to be the cool boss dad
brother, sister. Yeah.
You know, and so the good news and bad news is, like, my only, I don't even think it's advice, but it's like, it's doing it and just going through it is, that's all there is to do.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think you can be trained better except for doing it.
Right. Yeah. And I want to add, like, ask for help, you know, if you're not connecting with your team the way your instincts, your gut, your intuition says that you could be, just ask for help. Yeah. And, like, sure, you can ask a coach, you know, but what I find the most helpful is ask the team that you're leading. Like, they're going to tell you, and it's going to sting, but they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to tell you. Yeah. You've worked with leaders in various industries. What are some universal truths about leadership that you have observed or discovered in your time?
What is universal? The only thing I can really think of is, like, leadership is descriptive, not prescriptive.
Say more.
It's a proper adjective. It's not a verb. It's not a noun, right? Like, we use it like it's a verb.
I was going to say that.
Right? Like, go lead people, right? And leading isn't a thing that you do. It's not a noun. Like, I don't really get to tell other people I'm a leader. That doesn't make it true. Right? But if, so it's like, it's this description, or it's like a label that can be put on someone, more like an adjective than a noun, of like, that person is leading, or like, I would follow that person wherever they go, right? Like, that kind of stuff is the only thing that really is actually leadership. Right? Everything else is trying to leverage power structure. It's like it like all of it is, it's like a cheat code, right? Like, if you're leaning on, but I'm the leader,
you're clearly not. No, you're not. I always tell people, if you have to say it, man, it's because you're not.
And, like, that might work,
yeah,
a little bit for a little while,
yeah,
you know, but, like, that's not, it doesn't make it true, and it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
If that's all you're going on, which goes back to what you said of, like, the only place to really go to get that right and to be doing it.
To the people, is, man.
Yeah.
The people pick the leader.
And we've seen it where they've actually picked someone else. Right?
Yeah. 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 For so many reasons, you know, but yes, definitely. I love that. That's so, like, contrarian. I love it. Definitely going to be a clip. Yeah.
I'm not talking fast enough for you to get really good clips. I need to speed it up.
No. We'll work it. We'll put it together. Maybe some heavy editing, but it's so worth it because your nuggets are so good, for sure. I just recently talked about how new leaders, they struggle, right? It's almost like sixth grade again, where, you know, you were probably just leading. I mean, you were probably working alongside these people, and now you're leading them. And there's a clear distinction. And I think it's the hardest piece of, you know, in normal organizations, your supervisor is probably someone that was just a lead frontline still. And this is sixth grade, which is the hardest grade for most people, because you're no longer, you know, working alongside them. Now you have to lead them. Yeah. There's this misconception that they have to have all the answers, or they have to know what they're doing. What do you tell people? What would you tell people who are new to leading? That feel this insecurity about not having all the answers, but that are likely good leaders.
Yeah. Why
do you need to know all the answers?
Right. Like, that's it. Now that conversation is going to go slightly different direction for each person. But what I do know is, like, at the end of that path is a lot of clarity on why it feels so much like I have to have the answer or to be making all of the decisions. Each person has something at the end of that path that once they see what the truth is, is going to make it a lot easier to turn around and apply curiosity back to their team and reap all of the benefits of listening, asking.
Yes. Yeah. Become a high collaborator. Right? I mean, the we're not, as leaders, we're not the subject matter experts.
In fact, it would be like, that would be a detriment to most, like that is a net negative thing.
Yes.
For most organizations.
Yes.
That is a failure of leadership.
Yes.
And so it's like, why are people striving?
Right. Like it's such a wild concept to see it. And like, they really struggle. I had someone ask me the other day, like, but I don't know how to fix it. And I'm like, you don't need to know how.
Yeah.
Get the right people in front of you and they will tell you how. They'll also tell you why they're doing it wrong, which will probably make a lot of sense because all they know is I need to produce X. How I get there, whatever, you know? And they're like, shit. You know, we just have this, you know, if they won't follow me if I don't have all the answers. No bullshit.
Yeah.
I call BS. Yeah. You know, I'm the first one to tell you, look, I don't know how this works. You tell me how it works so I'll know more, you know? So yeah, yes. Why do you need to know? Why do you need to think that you have all the answers? That's what I'm going to start to use. Like, but why? That's good. That's good.
Curiosity will, like, it'll fix everything.
It's intelligence. It's intelligence. Curiosity is intelligence. It's, you know, I actually coach people to sometimes even play dumb. Like, it's okay to play dumb. It's the smartest thing you can do. Allow them to teach. Allow them to feel empowered and cared for and knowledgeable and all the things, you know. And you may learn something because you may not know all the things, you know. So, yeah, I love the fact.
And even if you did, I wish I remember who said it. In the last week or so, someone was saying that when people are telling them stuff that they already know, like they have always been someone who says no, right? Like, oh, we need to do this. I know, and they switched to saying you're right, and I really like that. Like. I think we're more aligned where it'd be like, I think it's even more fun to go like, oh, cool, tell me more.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's more fun. But for someone who's not ready to let go of that much yet.
Sure.
To just at least switch to going like, you're right. That is how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't take anything away from that person. It lets them receive this like, hey, awesome, you're right about this. And I didn't have to, you know, secede any of my, like, being right and knowing stuff, you know, because I still get to go, like, I know that you are right.
Yeah. Yeah. My ego's still right.
Yeah. Like, I'm intact here. There's nothing.
I didn't lose anything.
Right. So, like, I love that as a starting spot for people who,
that's
like.
That's good.
It is just like really do that, like right when it happens.
Yeah.
You can even do it after the fact of like, hey, I thought that was really cool. And yesterday's meeting, whenever Romy said that this is kind of the best way we could do this thing, she's really right about that. And so I hope, you know, like go ask her if you need to know how to do this because she's got it.
Yeah.
So it's just, it starts to do.
Yeah.
Do all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's still too scary to go full on, like, interesting.
Yeah, it is going beyond. Tell me more. That's my favorite phrase, is tell me more. So final thought, what would be your small yet most impactful thing you can tell a leader that can help them start to become a little more mindful, a little more compassionate when interacting with anyone, not just their people, but anyone?
I actually think that like my biggest belief in life is I'm obsessed with curiosity. As like I would go write a book called The Curiosity Cure if I didn't feel like it was like too cheesy of a title or something. You
know? You should write it.
I may have to go figure out what's going on with the with that part. But it's like, it is so simple, and it solves everything, and it makes everyone better, and it unlocks everything, and you don't have to. I actually, on a deeper level, I'm about compassion, and I want there to be way more compassion in the world. But I don't believe, I don't think you can train compassion. I don't think you can measure compassion. I don't think you can press on compassion, like push harder on, like, we need you to be more compassionate around here, right? Like, it's a thing, kind of like going back to leadership, right? Like, it's this kind of ephemeral description of a side effect of a thing.
Yeah.
I think curiosity is the thing.
Yes.
You can train it very easily.
Yes.
Right? Like, well, how do you want to be more curious? Like, ask a question.
Yeah.
The end, training complete.
Right.
How do you be curious? Ask a question.
No.
Training's over.
100%.
And you can measure it. Back when I was at Zappos, like, the only measurement on the call center was, did you make a personal emotional connection on X percent of your calls? Right. And they would measure that, like, on charts and graphs by just listening on a call, and your supervisor would just listen in on X percent of your calls and just check a box of did you or did you not make a personal emotional connection during that call. Right. So you can measure curiosity. You can just see how many questions are asked instead of answers given.
Wow, that's so it's easy really to measure. Cool.
And it unlocks everyone, because if we all start asking each other's questions,
here comes compassion.
Like, you can't not feel more empathetic and compassionate yourself, right? You can't not, like, the other side of it can't not feel it. I need to find this research so I can, like, actually refer to it. But, you know, there was like scientifically significant amount of research done on, like, when you do something kind for someone, is it serotonin?
Mm-hmm.
More is released, and what's the, like, not getting sick? It's
like your immunity.
Your immunity goes up.
Yeah.
For the person who receives the kindness, right? Like, it's that they can measure exactly how much impact that has. For the person who does the kindness for the other person, the exact same levels increase.
Yeah.
For anyone
who
happened to oversee that act of kindness, all of their serotonin and immunity levels are boosted. So it truly is this exponential thing. Like, if we start asking questions and getting curious about ourselves, about the person beside us, everyone benefits from it. It feels good. Even people that are just observing it go, like, this is the kind of place that I've always wanted to work. These are my people. This is where I belong. I'm safe here. I think I could tell people I don't understand, and they would be happy to, like, find out more and help me out. And that feels great. I bet I could turn around and do that to the next person. So curiosity is it. That's all anyone needs to, like, do the best stuff ever.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you have to write the book because it is the cure, right? And I think about politics and, you know, it's we're in such a divide. But that, like, if people understood that your past experiences is what shapes your decisions right now, that's one, right? So to understand that and to be okay with whatever they decide. But to ask the question, what made you decide that? And not have any judgment, not try to put your bullshit on it, but just say, cool. Like, right there. So you got to write the book, Thomas.
And what's crazy, that's a risky word, but it feels crazy to me, is that that also is your best chance of getting them to consider.
10%.
Like, this isn't just this selfless, like, sacrificing thing. Like, it actually increases the likelihood of them hearing your decisions and what led you there. And two people might end up
saying,
now in a new shared place together.
Yep.
So it's worth it.
it's worth it. And to change someone's paradigm, someone's mindset, someone's perspective is huge, because that's where all their beliefs are, right? Everything they've seen, that's what they're holding on to so tight. And if you could come with a curious mind and a curious heart, and so can they, then we can like open up these perspectives and it's magic happens. And I'm in love with this idea of curiosity too. So thank you. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you being on the show. This was very grounding for me.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Really we might it. Have to do another one.
I'll go weekly. Let's get the road show going.
We might have to do another one because I feel like there's
really
so much more.
I appreciate your work and I appreciate what you're doing and that you are telling these stories and that you are helping more leaders lead from the heart. And so thank you for, I'm sure it's a labor of love, but I'm sure it's also a labor. And so I just really appreciate that you're doing this work.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. And I appreciate your, you know, being a person in the world who's revolutionizing leadership. Period. You know, so, you know,
I'll find a way to receive that.
You are. You will. Yeah. And so with that, we'll close today's episode, guys. Actually, before we close, Thomas, I want to know where people can find you. Where can they find this community that you have? We'll also put it in the show notes, but, you know, for anyone who's driving or not wanting to look at the show notes.
Yeah. So I would go to get11app.com. And if you just kind of follow the yellow brick road.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll find your way to the community as well.
Okay. Very cool. So get 11.
All spelled out.
Okay.
Get 11 app.
Get11app.com. Guys, obviously, highly encourage you to go find that app. I'm going to go look at it myself once I jump off this episode.
Yay.
And yes, so thank you. And this concludes our episode of Leadership from the Heart this week. Tune in next week for another one. Again, if you liked it, share it, connect with Thomas, go get that app. He's very mindful in what he does, and I'm sure his team is as well. So thank you so much.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.